We are in a series of messages here at Rose Hill going through the book of Colossians in the New Testament, and we wanted to keep that going this morning. I want to give just a brief message here this morning, but we're going to read from Colossians chapter 1, beginning of verse 24, through chapter 2, verse 5. Normally it would be up on the screen, but we're not using that today. And so you can just listen or follow along in your own Bibles if you brought one. This is God's word to you and me, Colossians 1, beginning in verse 24. This is Paul writing to the church in Colossae as he continues his letter. "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make it known, to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may be full. They may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is." Heavenly Father, thanks for this day. Thank you so much for Watoto being here, the blessing they are to us, and the opportunity to be a blessing in return. We pray, God, that you would speak to each and every one of us through their music, through our interactions with one another, through your word, through this message. And we just pray, God, in the midst of it all, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I forgot to mention, thank you so much for making these shirts available and being here. It gives me a chance to wear a t-shirt on Sunday morning. That is fantastic. Be a little more casual than normal, and that's kind of a gift. So, George Burns, some of you might remember George Burns, passed away a number of years ago. He once said, "The secret of a good sermon is to have a good beginning and a good ending, and to have the two as close together as possible." And so, I hope to have a good message for you, and it will be brief. We'll keep it, down to like 45 or 50 minutes here. I am so glad that you all are here this morning, not only to be inspired and encouraged in your own journey of life and faith, wherever you are in that, but also to bless and encourage Watoto. And as I thought about this morning and the ministry of Watoto, as I was thinking about this week, knowing that they were coming, and as I was thinking about that in light of the scripture passages that I had planned out a few weeks ago in this series, as I thought about all of that and thinking about it through the lens of this passage, it occurred to me that there are a couple of extremes, two extremes, that we tend to have in our culture, sometimes in our own, in our relationship with God, in our relationship with one another in the church, in our relationships with people out in the community, in our homes, and other places. And both of these extremes are being combated here this morning, which is a good thing, as we join together, and both extremes are addressed by Paul in this passage that we just read. The first extreme is to presume that somebody else will do what's needed. Whatever it may be, whatever the work may be, whatever the responsibility is to presume that somebody else will do whatever that is. From doing the laundry or loading the dishwasher or unloading it, right? I know you have done this. You have prayed that somebody else would do all that, right? How many of you ever prayed that you're, have you ever ignored it? Like, you know the laundry's in the dryer waiting to come out and be folded, and you just kind of pretend it's that you didn't notice? From that kind of a thing to coaching our kids' soccer teams or basketball teams, I've gotten the email before. We have a team of kids put together. Your kid has signed up for it. We are still looking for a coach. Season is supposed to start in a couple of days. Games start in 2 weeks, and we still need a coach. And you immediately start praying, I hope somebody else signs up for that, right? We've done it. We've all done it. From those kinds of things to caring for the less fortunate in our communities, ministries of the church, to welcoming a neighbor into the neighborhood around you, somebody new who's moved into the neighborhood. In all these kinds of situations and others too, we tend to hope, pray, or even presume that someone else will do whatever it is needed, whatever that work may be. Sometimes, honestly, we are just genuinely really busy with really good stuff. It happens. I get it. Okay, between work, pastoring the church here, between being married and having four kids in the household, keeping the house, you know, looking halfway decent at least, keeping the cars up and running. I understand, you know, we get really busy. I echo with the Beatles. I need 8 days a week, and probably you do as well. And those are all good things. I love being pastor here at the church. I love my wife and my kids. I like my house. I guess mostly like my cars. Kind of a love-hate relationship, actually. Lately, there's been some serious dislike. I had a car in the shop a bunch the last, like, 5 weeks. It's not been real good, actually. So, you know, these are all good things. I'm not going to ditch them. I like being married. I like my kids. I don't want them to move out, even though they will someday. But sometimes we are involved in things that aren't so good, that maybe we could let go of. They aren't so noble. They could be cut out of our lives to make room for good things. Or maybe some of us, we actually have plenty of time and the energy to add some good things into our lives, to take on some responsibilities or to help somebody, whatever it may be, but for no particularly good reason at all, just laziness and apathy, we just hope, pray, and presume that somebody else will take care of whatever that need is. So this week, before I really got, actually really before I even thought about the message at all, I was doing some work and actually thinking of some future messages and kind of collecting some stories and illustrations and stuff, and I came across one that then 3 days later, as I started working more succinctly or concretely on today's message, I thought, wait a minute, I just copied and pasted something this week that fits in perfectly earlier. So I want to share with you an obituary that I came across. This is an obituary, and I want to read to you, and so here's what it says. Our community was saddened to learn this week of the death of one of our most valued and beloved members, someone else. For many, many years as a part of this community, someone else did far more than a normal person's share of the work. Whenever there was a job to do, a class to teach, or a meeting to attend, everybody said, let someone else do it. Whenever leadership was mentioned, this wonderful person was looked to for inspiration as well as results, as people thought, someone else can work with that group. It was common knowledge that someone else was among the most generous givers in our community. Whenever there was a financial need, everyone assumed that someone else would come through and make up the difference. But now, someone else is gone. We wonder what we are going to do. Someone else left a wonderful example to follow, but who is going to follow it? Who is going to do the things that someone else did? We will all miss someone else. What a great death to experience, isn't it? What a great obituary to write. I know in our Protestant tradition, we don't normally name saints, individuals, but maybe we should call this person Saint Someone Else. And this is why I'm so glad to look out and see so many of you here at this first service, and we had about as many of a similar number at, or at the second service, and we had about as many at the first service as well, to see so many saints with real names, not Saint Somebody Else, but real saints in the church, because you realize that someone else didn't need to be here, but that you needed to be here. We are all here in part, at least, to support Wetoto, whether you, or maybe not, maybe you just want to come and be entertained by some music and you have no, didn't really come with the thought of supporting or encouraging them or that this is a worship service. But we're all here in some way to support Wetoto, I think, even with our presence, and whether you give financially or not. And your presence here, your prayers to them, your words of encouragement afterwards to them, whatever you, however you might engage with them, that strengthens them, that encourages them, it keeps them going. And then I hope that that might carry over into other facets of life as well, from welcoming someone new into the neighborhood, to serving in the church and in the community, being a blessing to people in need. serving lunch to someone, being at a homeless shelter and helping out there, whatever it might be. These things are not just someone else's responsibility, but ours as well. And Paul's words in this letter are a strong reminder of this first point, that it takes a sacrifice to serve others and that we can't always presume that someone else will do it. He writes, "I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions." Jesus' death on the cross is sufficient, but he's saying there's still work to be done. Jesus does what we cannot do for ourselves, but there's still work to be done to share that with others, to build up the body of Christ. And he says, I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of the church. I become its, meaning the church's, servant. To this end I labor, struggling with all Christ's energy. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for all those who have not met me personally. So Paul made no assumptions that someone else would do this work when God presented him with an opportunity to be an agent of his grace in the world and to serve and sacrifice for others. And when it came that way, he stepped out in faith. And he kept persevering in spite of what it cost him. And he's sitting in prison as he writes this letter, and in prison for his faith because of what he believed. And so I hope that this might encourage and inspire us to do likewise, to serve those around us so that we would be beacons of light shining for Jesus in the world. So that is one extreme that we are combating this morning as we join together to presume this, to combat this idea that someone else will do it. Someone else do whatever it is that is needed. So that's one. On the other extreme is just the opposite. And we are all guilty of this one at times as well. And that is when we start thinking, only I can do this. I'm the only one with the ability, the knowledge, the experience to do this, whatever it is. Now, sometimes we might have this feeling that we're alone and only we can do this because we have to, because we've maybe been kind of abandoned by others, or we don't feel like they're holding up their end of the bargain, and maybe they actually aren't. For instance, that sometimes happens in marriages, where a spouse feels like the other spouse is not putting in everything that they should to be an equal partner in the marriage, and so you can feel very lonely in that kind of a situation. And if you're here this morning and you're feeling that way, I would highly, highly encourage you to have a conversation about that today. Go home, listen to one another, spend time asking questions, and just listen, seeking to understand each other, where you're coming from. But sometimes we end up in this attitude of only I can do this because we are prideful and have an air of superiority and believe that we are the only ones who can do whatever it is that needs to be done. And we don't need other people. That's what we sometimes fall for. And the fact is, that is rarely true. We need people in our lives. We need encouragement. We need each other. And we are reminded of that this morning as we join together. We're all from different parts of the Seattle area here. We're from different parts of the world, two different continents we come together here. We can't do life on our own. We need encouragement and support. We need others to even carry us along at times. And ironically, the place where people tend to, I think, have maybe the strongest attitude about this and have it the most is in regards to the other side of the grave, to what happens when I die. And we're all given a mere handful of days in the grand scheme of things. And so many people think, well, if I'm a good enough person, then I will spend eternity in heaven. I can do this on my own. I've got this. And yet, if you pause and just think about it, just for a moment, have the humility to think about it for a moment, and this is all of us in this boat, whether you're a Jesus follower for many years or never have been, this is something for us all to wrestle with. If you pause and think about logically for just a moment, you and I on our own, we have no idea what it takes to dwell in eternity with the holy creator of the universe. I mean, they sang a song a little bit ago about power. That was one of the verses anyway, it was about that. I mean, you talk about power and you're going to stand in the presence of that. You know how to do that? Do we have any idea what it takes? You know, I'll ask for help fixing my car. I've done that a lot the last several weeks, as I already said. I'll ask Siri for helping to navigate me from point A to point B when I don't know where I'm going. I just want to know a faster route because of traffic. I'll ask a waiter, what do you recommend? What's popular? What's good here at this restaurant? Because I've never eaten here before. But finding my way to peace with God, peace in life, and peace in death, in eternity in the presence of my Creator, so often I say, I've got this. How ironic is that? The one time we actually need somebody else who knows the way, who understands this and can show us, and suddenly we think, I've got this on my own. I can do this. And Paul speaks of that in this passage as well, as he does throughout his letters. Jesus teaches about it. It's what Jesus' life was built around. And it's all based on his life, death, and resurrection. Jesus taught all this, even himself. But Paul, in today's passage, writes this. My purpose for doing all this stuff, for all the laboring he does, all the struggling he talks about, my purpose for that is that people may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. And what he means when he uses these phrases, the full riches and complete understanding and the mystery of God and all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, what he is speaking to there is that he wants them to know the truth of Jesus, to know about his life and his death and his resurrection, about Jesus' teaching about God and eternity, about Jesus' teaching about himself. Paul wants them to know all that, not just head knowledge, but to live into it, to believe it, to step out in trust and in faith. Because we can't find heaven on our own. We do actually need some help. And Jesus is the one who can do that. And Paul knows all this firsthand. Paul did everything he could in his own way before his encounter with Christ to do that on his own. And even he realized that it was not enough. We can't be good enough on our own. We can't make our own way to heaven. We don't know the way there. And so these two extremes in our world and probably in our own lives, we see them. They exist if we are honest with ourselves. We presume somebody else will take out the garbage, do the dishes, mow the grass, feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, fix the building, help put clothes on the back of someone who needs them. But when Jesus stands before us and offers to lead us into eternity, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, when he says, come, follow me, so many times it is then that we decide that someone else actually isn't sufficient, that Jesus is not enough. And I would suggest to you that we have it all backwards. It is completely turned around. We need somebody else, and not just any somebody else, but Jesus Christ, who actually is sufficient to be that somebody else that we need. His resurrection backs it up. And in response to his goodness and love, we then are the answer to some people's cries for needing somebody else in their times of need in the world. From mowing the lawn and doing the dishes to feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and providing shelter and all that kind of stuff. So thank you for being here and not presuming that someone else would show up to bless and support and encourage Wototo. Praise God that you are here. And I hope and pray that you are also blessed and encouraged and inspired so that you might grow in faith and that through you, God might touch the life of somebody else. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word to us. Thank you for inspiring Paul to write to that church in Colossae to answer their questions and help them understand what it means to be in relationship with you, our Heavenly Father, through faith in Jesus Christ. And thank you, God, for the opportunity to be here, to bless Wototo, to encourage them, and likewise to be encouraged and inspired as well. We pray, God, that as we give in this offering, that you might use it beyond our wildest imaginations to touch the lives, to touch the ministry, to bless what Wototo is doing. We thank you, God, for their good work of reaching people in the greatest of need, from orphans, young kids, to mothers who are in vulnerable situations. We pray, God, that you would bless all of that work, that you'd be glorified in the midst of it. And it's our honor and joy to be able to participate in that today. And Lord, help us to then be lights into the world around us, that it wouldn't just be something here today that we engage in, but something that each and every day we live out, that we might be a blessing to others, that they might know you, their Father in heaven. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. And all the church said together, amen.